Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we confess our sin before God and one another. Let us kneel as we are able. Loving and forgiving God, for pride and selfishness, we have judged others according to impossible standards. We have put ourselves before others. We have failed to follow you. Forgive us for all we have thought, done, and said. Forgive what we have failed to do or say. Renew us to new life in your kingdom. Brothers and sisters, God, who sees what we do not see, also loves and forgives. Receive now the entire forgiveness of your sin, granted in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us stand. God of compassion, you see into the hearts of all people. Show us how to see in others love, compassion, kindness, and a willingness to serve you. Amen. Please be seated, and we invite our children forward for a time with respect.
Good morning. So this morning, the first lesson is about how God sent Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel. So I thought we would have a little playtime. I'm inviting some guests up that I spoke to earlier. I thought we could talk about how when Samuel went, he was to choose among Jesse's sons. And so he pretty much had them lined up just like this. And Samuel thought he knew exactly what God was looking at, was looking for in a new king. So let's start here with George. And, you know, Samuel probably thought, well, you know, George dresses really nicely. But, you know, kings always look pretty nice. When you see movies or hear stories, they're always dressed very nicely. So maybe that's what a king should be, right? Yeah. And then here's Pastor Dave, and he looks really strong, and I know he likes to play sports. So kings are always strong. I mean, maybe God wants a really strong king, right? Or maybe Brandon's a good choice. Brandon's really tall. He's really smart. He's handsome. He's good with numbers. I mean, I might be talking too much about Brandon. But, you know, all of those are really good qualities, right? You want somebody who's smart, good with numbers, tall, strong, good-looking, handsome, well-dressed. But you know what? God said, no, none of those, none of these people. In fact, Jesse had one son that was out, and it was David. And God wanted David brought to him, and it ended up being David who was anointed. And guess what? David was smaller, and he wasn't as strong. He was the youngest. He could have been just like all of you. And the reason that God picked David is because he had a pure heart. Had nothing to do with his outward appearance, nothing to do with good looks, strong, strength, anything. It all was because he was kind and he was loving and he trusted in God with all of his heart. So as a little reminder of that, I've brought something for all of you that I'm going to hand out at the end, little hearts, to remind you of this. But before that, would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to remember that it's not always what's on the outside that counts, but what's on the inside. And help us to strive to be like David, to be kind and loving and generous, and to always trust in you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Pray with me, please. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading that Beth was giving you a preview on, it was from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed one is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you looking for an opportunity to kill me? The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus answered them, "I performed one work, and all of you are astonished. Moses gave you circumcision. It is, of course, not from Moses, but from the patriarchs. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath in order that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I healed a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come together as the people of God to feel a sense of your presence in all things. And Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. Bless our time together now. Inspire us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like for you guys to take a moment and consider this question. If you wanted to model your life after a character from Scripture, who would it be? And we're going to take Jesus off the table because we all should be following Jesus, of course. We are imitators of the Christ, the Messiah. But think for a moment. Take a few moments to think, who would you choose as a character of Scripture to be a model of your faith? Well, perhaps you might choose Abraham, the father of the monotheism, the worship of Yahweh. Maybe you would choose him because he was one who was called to go on a great adventure, and you want your life of faith to be one of great adventure. Perhaps you would choose Jacob, the trickster, simply because what you enjoy about Jacob is here is someone who knows how to live life, who goes for what they want, and you want that to be what your faith is like, knowing that you're going to cling to God as Jacob did until God blesses you, that you're going to just cling to God in the midst of all that life brings. Maybe it would be Jacob for you. Or maybe instead you would choose the prophetess Deborah, particularly women, who see in this woman strength, courage, fearlessness, wisdom. You want your faith to be like that as well. Perhaps you would pick Ruth, the woman who showed such faithfulness to her mother-in-law, someone who clung to her and went on that adventure and said, "Your God will be my God." You want to be someone who shows that same kind of loyalty and love in your life of faith. Perhaps you would go New Testament. Perhaps you would go with Peter, the rock, the one who stood beside Jesus, the one who led the churches after Jesus ascended, the one who would profess faith that you are the Messiah. You want to live that kind of faith. Perhaps it's Paul for you. Paul, because your life is like his, that you came to faith maybe later. Maybe you had a conversion like that where God came into your life and Paul then had this passion for Jesus in such a way that it shaped everything that he was about. Perhaps that would be for you too. Or maybe it's quiet, faithful Mary. The girl who trusted that God would be with her. Maybe it was Timothy. Timothy, we don't think too much of him, but think about it. We are more like Timothy than maybe anybody because most of us had the faith taught to us. And Scripture teaches us about Timothy, the one who followed Christ because he learned that from his family. And he went on to serve God in a meaningful way. You know, I was asked this very question when I was in seminary. And guess who I answered? Well, I'll give you a hint. We just heard a story about him in our gospel lesson. He also happens to have the same name as me. Who did you think I chose? David. Exactly. And let me tell you why I chose King David. I chose King David, first of all, because we have the same name, to be sure. Yes, I thought that was kind of cool. But I also chose him because what I liked about David is that he was imperfect. And I knew, as I was starting this journey of ministry, that I too am imperfect. I chose David because I was captivated by this one who sought to love God so deeply and so passionately that God called him a man after his own heart. In chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, God says, "I am going to choose a man of my own heart," and then he chooses David. And notice what he says in the midst of his choice that he makes today. He says he's not looking upon the outward appearance. Indeed, God keeps doing what God continues to do in Scripture, which is choose the one that we least expect. God chose the younger brother Abel over Cain. God chose Isaac instead of Ishmael. God chose Jacob instead of Esau. God chose Joseph instead of his older brothers. And yet here again, God anoints and chooses David instead of all of those brothers before him. And it's what he says and why he chooses David that is instructive for us this day as we think about what it means to be followers of God. He chooses David, he says, because he looked upon his heart. And what we are told is that God wanted someone who was after his own heart, and he looked upon David and chose him. And I remember thinking then, and even thinking even more so now, that I want to be a man after God's own heart. It's kind of scary, though, to think that God looks upon our hearts. Because I don't know about you, but at times, my heart can be a dark place. At times, I can have a pretty black heart. because of fear or anger or frustration or pain of any kind, I can go to some places that I don't want anyone to know about, least of all the God whom I'm trying to serve. Yet what I have been told is that God looks upon our hearts. Now we think that perhaps David was anointed because God chose him. He looked upon his heart. And that would be great if we didn't have to read the rest of the story of David. Because let me tell you, the rest of the story of David is such that his heart went to some pretty dark places too. David, as I said earlier, was imperfect. Yet, I wonder, did God not see it coming? Did God in some way choose David and then go, oh my goodness, what did I just do? I mean, one could argue that's what happened with Saul right before him, right? No, instead, I would submit to each one of you that that's not what happened at all. See, I think the beauty of this text for us is that God looked upon David's heart just as he looks upon mine and looks upon yours, and God knows exactly what to expect. That God knows even our darkest moments and our pains and our hurts. And it's even more powerful to me to think that God does not and will not hold that against us. And this perhaps, friends, is the beauty of what David teaches us this day. What David teaches us this day is that our God looks upon us and names us and claims us and anoints us with His Spirit. Because God knows that we are imperfect. My, at times, black heart can't be changed by what I do. I can try to be better, and I hope I do. I can try to be more faithful, and at times I am. I can try to be more spiritual, and let me tell you, when I listen to the choir sing, I get there. But friends, ultimately, my heart cannot be changed by me. My heart is changed by God. And David knew that, and he said so in his psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, what makes David a man after God's own heart is that David knows that he can't change his own. And neither can we. But God can. And God does. And God has. And friends, God will. God will. What makes David instructive for us in our life of faith is not that he was a great warrior, he was, or that he lived such a perfect life, because he did not. It's that ultimately when it came down to it, he got on his knees, he repented, and he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I went to David as a model for my life of faith because I believed and knew that I was imperfect and God used him anyway. And that's true. But the reason David is a model for me now is because David knew that amidst his brokenness and sinful heart, there is a God waiting to make it new. there is a God preparing in his heart for him to be a sanctuary of God's love and grace. And friends, God is doing that in your life too. In Jesus' name, amen.